Shalom to everybody. We'll put on the share screen. And again, we are just about to finish this volume of Rav Kook's about 300 paragraphs here. And the Gemara Masechet Shabbat, Daf Lamed Hei Amud Bet, reads as follows. Amar Rabbi Yossi Bar Zavida, Ha'ose Melacha B'Shnei Bein Hashmashot, Chayav Chatat Mimanavshach. Okay, most of you are familiar with the idea that in between the sunset and the coming of three stars, there's a period called dusk. And it's like, it's a safek, it's a doubt whether it's day, and it's a doubt whether it's night. That's at the beginning of Shabbat. Now, we all know that we light candles in Yerushalayim 40 minutes early, in most of Israel 24 minutes early, in most of America 18 minutes before sunset. But Shabbat itself actually begins at sunset, but technically, Mida Oraita, it still is a doubt between sunset until the three stars come out. That is what's called Bein Hashmashot. Now, at the end of Shabbat, it's the same thing. Because on Saturday afternoon, from the sunset until the time three stars come out, that is a doubtful area, a gray area, where it's not exactly Shabbat Mida Oraita, or it's actually, I should say, Safek Mida Oraita. I don't want to get into the famous machloka between the Rambam and the Rashba, whether Safek de Oraita Lechumra is de Oraita or de Rabbanan. Right? Because if it's in a doubt regarding a Torah prohibition, so we have to take the more stringent approach. There are those that say, that's the Rashba, who say that this law is from the Torah, we have to take the more stringent approach. The Rambam says that the rabbis were the ones who decided that on Torah prohibitions, we have to take the more stringent approach. Either way, we all know that you're not allowed in between the sunset and the three stars, whether Friday afternoon or Saturday night. You're not allowed to do any kind of work. It's already halachically Shabbat. Nevertheless, the Gemara here, in Shabbat Daf Lamed Hei Amud Bet, tells us that they are both a safek. They are both in doubt, okay? This dusk, grayish period. So Rabbi Yossi Bar Zvida says, what about if somebody does melacha, say somebody turns on lights, bishnei bein hashmashot, also on Friday afternoon, and during that dusk period, and also Saturday night during the dusk period, chayav chatat mimanafshach. Either way you turn, he has to give a korban chatat because he has transgressed a Torah prohibition. So he has to bring a sacrifice from the Torah because if it's that dusk period is day, then okay, so Saturday night he transgressed. And if that dusk period is considered night, so Friday he transgressed. But either on Friday or Saturday night, if he did melacha, if he did work on both of them, he definitely is obligated to bring a sacrifice because he definitely was mechalel Shabbat. Now, the three questions that Rav Kook is going to deal with is first of all, that's pretty obvious. Now, it's interesting, you know, maybe you wouldn't have thought about it, but if I would have asked any of you, what if somebody does melacha all the dusk period on Friday afternoon, Friday evening, and also during the dusk period of Saturday evening, of course everybody would understand. Either way, he definitely was transgressing a Torah prohibition. So what's the Gemara trying to teach us from this case? Second thing that Rav Kook is going to deal with, as one of the things that I love about Rav Kook is that he defines everything. He explains everything. And what he's going to discuss today is the issue of doubt. Sometimes doubt is good. Sometimes, as a matter of fact, these two doubts together combine to make a Torah prohibition. But what is the essence of doubt? And not only that, in general, the concept of doubt, or in Hebrew, safek, In Hasidic literature, they say that Safek equals Amalek in Gematria. And the Hasidic, the symbolism here is that if a person has doubts regarding God, regarding whether to do mitzvot or to be religious or not to be religious, these doubts are the source of all problems. It's like Amalek. So if doubt is problematic, why did God invent doubt? There must be something good which comes out of everything. If God is good, and we all believe God is good, that means that doubt must also have some kind of positive effect. So let's see, Rav Kook. First, let's see Rashi in source number 2, just to clarify. Bishnei ben Ashmashot, Erev Shabbat u Motzei Shabbat. Right? There is this dusk period, also Friday evening, and also Saturday evening. Behelim Echad. Say a person totally forgot it was Shabbat. Chas v'shalom, he gets amnesia. And he forgets it's Shabbat. And he does work all, he's turning on lights, or driving is a better example. He's driving all Friday Eve and all Saturday night Eve. Both during these two dusk periods. Rashi explains, "En kan od asham talui." If he, for example, on Friday Eve, you drive from sunset till the time the stars come out, so you have to give a sacrifice called asham talui, because it's a doubt. Maybe that dusk period is called day. Maybe it's considered night. Maybe I transgressed Shabbat. Maybe I didn't transgress Shabbat. But if you drove all of Friday Eve and all of Saturday Eve, then you definitely have to bring a vadai chatat, a definite sacrifice, not a doubtful asham talui. Bet, Rashi explains here, mimanafshach, either way you turn, you have to give, you have transgressed Shabbat. Ilelahu, if the dusk period is considered night, chayav al erev Shabbat, v'shel motzei Shabbat eino klum. If you drove all Friday Eve, then that would be, if it's considered night, the dusk period is considered night, then you have transgressed on Friday Eve, but not on Saturday Eve. V'iyamamahu, and if that dusk period is considered day, chayav al motzei Shabbat, v'ein Shil Erev Shabbat Klum. So you have done something wrong on Saturday Eve, but not on Friday Eve. V'chagon, what is the example? De'avadle kol ben ashmashot. Like I said, it's a better example, somebody who's driving all Friday Eve and all Saturday Eve, both of them from sunset until the three stars come out. Because he's driving the whole time. De'leka lisfuke, there's no doubt, lahai betchilato lahai besofo. Either way, he has transgressed a Torah prohibition. Okay, let's get into Rav Kook. What is the Gemara here coming to teach us? Amar Rav Yossi Bar Zvida, etc. Aleph, b'mamad habarur, when things are clear, let me just move this screen to the side a little. When things are clear, she'or hayom me'ir, that the sun is shining. That symbolizes several places in the Torah. It symbolizes when something is clear, right? Some of you may remember that when it says that if a person breaks into the Gemara in Psachim, if a person breaks into a home and it is clear as day that he would have killed you, then you're allowed to, in self-defense, kill him. In other words, the concept of clear as day is a symbolic concept. So when an idea is clear as day, either during the secular day, or it's Shabbos already, ain't sorich la'adam sirufei mishpatim usvarot michubaron mitzdadim shonim. In a regular clear question, if somebody at 2 in the afternoon drives, is definitely okay. If he drives 2 in the afternoon on Saturday, is definitely not okay. And you don't have to take from this extreme and from that extreme and put it together and figure out, what have I done? Because when things are clear, you know what you've done. Hari'iyah, here it's interesting, Rav Kook very often double meanings. Those who have been learning with us for 10 years know this is a classic. It could be dotted either ri'iya, to see, or ra'aya, a proof, a conclusive proof. And that's exactly what Rav Kook is saying here, that if things are clear, the sight or the proof be'atzma hi achat uklalit, it's complete, and you know exactly what you're talking about. There are no doubts. Paragraph bet. Omnam. Bima'amad haktsavot. But when dealing with the extremes, and here, it's very clear, Rav Kook is referring to the extremes, the beginning of Shabbat and the end of Shabbat, both of these dusk periods. But here Rav Kook is giving us an example of what Judaism always says. Extremes are problematic. Like the Rambam writes, the middle way is always the best way. Some people call it the golden rule. That was Confucius, not the Rambam. But they both say the same thing. And when you're in the middle of the day and things are clear, that is not problematic. The doubts arise at the ktsavot, at the extremes, either at the very beginning or at the very end. Beautiful symbolism that Rav Kook is doing here. Hope you all caught it. And he continues, "Bomnam be'amamad haktsavot, when things go to the extreme, be'et ke'uta or hasichli, when the light of knowledge is not clear," again, he's talking about it's a little dark on Friday Eve and it's a little dark on Saturday Eve, but both of them are a doubtful situation. We're not sure whether it's day or night. "Az yitchalku ha'inyanim lemishpat ma'aseh u'mishpat ha'iyun." This is when we have to differentiate between what we're going to do and what we're going to understand. In general, we usually talk about three major topics. There is doing, there is understanding, and there is emotion, right? The emotion, the intellect, and the doing, or if you wish, the head, the hands, and the heart, okay? And by the way, this is one of the symbolisms of when men tie tefillin on. Part of the symbolism is to connect all three, where we have tefillin also on our hands, which symbolizes the actions, the deeds. Also, it is right near our heart, and also we symbolize the emotion, and also we have the tefillin shel rosh on our heads, which symbolizes the intellect. So here, in our particular case, when things are unclear, we have to differentiate between tachlis, what we're going to do, and our understanding and emotion. Hama'ase ra'ui liyot mivuneh. Regarding what am I going to do, the actions, it has to be built, umiyusad, and based. Gamim imtza lo ma'amad shel safek lahashiro. Even if there is a doubt, like in our case, we don't know if this Eve period is day or night, we have to decide, am I allowed to drive then or not? Same thing, if there's a doubt if the chicken is kosher or not kosher, in the olden days, still today, and obviously in the Schlachthaus, in the slaughter houses, very often they bring questions to the rabbi to ask. Maybe today with this high standard of living, they just throw it away. But with an animal, for sure, a lot of times there are questions that we ask a rabbi. Now, in this gray period of, well, so maybe some opinions say it's kosher, some opinions say it's not kosher, the rabbi has room to add other factors. For example, sometimes if the person who's asking is a poor person, the rabbi will say, okay, if you can't afford buying a new chicken, you can rely on lenient opinions. On the other hand, if the person asking is the maid of somebody wealthy, so for you, it's not kosher. But tachlis, if we're writing a book, whether it be the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, a halacha lema'aseh, a practical halacha guide, you can write, ask your rabbi, but usually in most books they will say, it's either kosher or it's treif. Because when we're talking about practical actions, we have to decide. For example, in dusk, can I drive or can I not drive? So here, in both cases, both Friday Eve and Saturday Eve, the halacha is no, you cannot drive because Shabbat is so holy and so beautiful and so important, we don't even want to come close to transgressing the Shabbat. So that is regarding the ma'aseh. Practically speaking, the dusk period, you're not allowed to drive. What about a sacrifice? You bring a asham talui. If someone were to drive during dusk period, again, like we said, he doesn't bring a definite sacrifice, but he brings a maybe sacrifice. Why? Because he maybe did a sin and maybe didn't do. But if I want to understand Judaism, if I want to understand Torah, intellectually, that's not a good answer. By the way, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zatzal, the great Rosh Yeshiva of Har Etzion, the son-in-law of Rav Soloveitchik, he never liked the approach of, you know what, let's be safe and take the stringent opinion. Or it's a difficult question and it involves a lot of monetary problems, so let's take the lenient opinion. He always wanted to know, what are we doing in yeshiva? We want to figure out intellectually, is it Shabbos or is it weekday? Is that dusk period, is it day or is it night? And we have to break our head and try and figure out, according to all the different sources, also the philosophic sources and the symbolic sources. But here, we cannot leave it as an asham talui. We can't just say, okay, so bring a sacrifice as a doubt. Or we can't just say, like today, we would say, you can't drive on Friday Eve, you can't drive on Shabbat Eve. Intellectually, we want to know, is it day or is it night? V'lo b'ze yamon halev amenuchato. Also, emotionally, as soon as the halacha tells you, well, it might be Shabbos, there is something in the back of our mind which sort of takes us down a gear and say, okay, this is just maybe Shabbos. And so emotionally, it's also a problem. So emotionally and also intellectually, we can be and we have to deal with this situation. Yes or no, day or night. On the other hand, practically, regarding the deeds, the hands, so you bring an asham talui, you know, play it safe, and bring that doubtful sacrifice. Paragraph Gimel, Omnam. Gam ba'ofen hayoter afel, yuchal ma'amad ha-safek limatze be'ezid drush yakar, hanogea ad alev, rak bashkifo alav mitzad echad hamugbal. It's possible that if we're talking about a doubt, sometimes we give a drush. Everybody knows that when we talk about a gematria or a drush, something that's not really intellectually sound, but, you know, something that can give some kind of nice idea, a vort. Sometimes that can mafil, it can activate our emotion to a certain extent, even if it is in doubt. Because emotion can be activated even if it's a doubtful situation. In other words, intellect is a lot more difficult to activate if it's a doubtful situation, because the intellect wants to cut. The whole idea of intellect, why do we say Havdalah in the Bracha V'tachon Antanu? The Gemara Masechet Brachot tells us that Saturday night, in the bracha where we talk about Atachonin la'adam da'at, God, you give us wisdom, that is where we divide between secular and Shabbat, ben kodesh l'chol, ben or l'choshech, between day and night, which is exactly our topic. What is dusk? Is it day or is it night? So, again, intellectually, we want to check it out. Emotionally, sometimes we can activate it. Practically, sometimes we have these laws, like what to do practically. Okay, so give a asham talui, give a doubtful sacrifice, or safik d'oraita lechumra, if it's a Torah prohibition, you have to take the more stringent opinion. If it's a rabbinic you take the more lenient, but these are what to do practically, but that doesn't solve the problem intellectually, and it really doesn't solve the problem totally emotionally either, even though sort of emotionally, like Rav Kook says, you can work it out. Paragraph Dalet. Avo biyoto metzaref kochot mefuzarim. But if we take the extremes, those extremes which we don't like, again, extremes are problematic, whether it be extreme to the right or extreme to the left. There, the middle way is always the good way. Nevertheless, Rav Kook is telling us that sometimes we need the extremes. You all see where he's going. The beginning of Shabbat, Friday Eve, or the extreme of the end of Shabbat, Saturday Eve. Those two doubts, when you put them together, they can help us clarify. It's sort of like a half and a half, if you put them together, equals one, equals a whole. And again, what's happening here? Mifashet et hashkafato mikatze echad ad hakatze ha'achir b'masa iuno. Intellectually, here we're solving the problem. How do you solve a problem intellectually? By taking this doubt and this doubt, and you put them together, you know, you can't give a doubtful sacrifice anymore. You have to give a definite korban chatat. Okay? Az lo yeh omed klal al matzav ha-safek ki im al matzav ha-birur. It's interesting, Rav Kook is saying, that in life, sometimes the doubts, can, when you put them together, even two opposite doubts at opposite extremes, sometimes they clarify. In other words, sometimes unclarity can help us clarify. And here Rav Kook is pointing out, also philosophically, also psychologically, nothing in the world is bad. And even if Safek equals Amalek, and the Hasidim say doubt is terrible, Rav Kook is pointing out, doubt is not totally doubt. Because if you check out doubt very well, these two doubts together can help us clarify both of them. And this power that until we brought the two extremes together, that there was a stalemate that you brought, you brought the doubtful sacrifice. Again, if you drove all Friday Eve and all Saturday Eve, miyad, but now that we put Saturday Eve and Friday Eve together, miyad yitorer al yedei tzirufo lachlit et hadat chiyuvit. We now can understand the positive, a definite halacha, hamikubetzet veola, that through both of these two extremes, both of these two problematic extremes, it helped us clarify. Dugmata ose melacha kishnei ben hashmashot chayav chatat mimanafshach, just like we just saw in the Gemara. Paragraph Hey. Umemela hagzera muvenet shirak leinyan ahachlata hatsurit shel chiyuv hachatat, only regarding the decision of the tsur is like a rock. And here Rav Kook is talking about a strong, definite decision regarding giving a definite sacrifice that I definitely, chas v'shalom, transgress Shabbat. Shetzarich ima tnai shel chiyuv muchlat, yesh tzarich letziruf. Right? Because we, in order to give that sure, definite sacrifice, you have to be definite. And the only way in this case to be definite is by looking at this doubt and that doubt and putting them together. Avalinyan Isur, by the way, this is a classic example of what we've seen. Those who have been learning together with a decade, we've seen tens of cases where Rav Kook talks about Ichud HaHofachim, about uniting opposites. And as a matter of fact, Rav Moshe Tzvi Neria, when asked to summarize the thought of Rav Kook in a concise nutshell, he said, Ichud HaHofachim, uniting the opposites. By the way, the Lubavitch in Sefer Tanya also talks about this concept. Rav Kook did not invent it. It's a Kabbalistic concept. But Rav Kook, I think, after seeing Hegel, the concept of thesis, antithesis, and then synthesis, Rav Kook actually turned it into an ideology and polished it up. So here, too, where we have one extreme and the other extreme, and together we can now understand, each one of them helps us understand the other. Okay, aval inyan isur melacha, dai gam ken asafek ha'echad liisur. Right, it really is enough that I did one definite transgression. In our case, it is not a doubt and a doubt. But if I look at these two doubts, I definitely transgress something. And it's not two doubts. As a matter of fact, one is a definite transgression, and the other is a definite non-transgression. But nevertheless, I definitely have to bring a Korban Chatat, because I have definitely transgressed the Shabbat. U'keshasafek yaset pulato be'emuna, when the doubts do their job properly. And here, hold on to your seats, because Rav Kook is going to give a beautiful, beautiful explanation. He says doubt is sort of an aspect of emuna. Emuna literally means faith. When do you need faith? When you don't see things clearly. We've mentioned in the past, Rav Kook says beautifully, on the pasuk, Lagid baboker chazdecha ve'emunatcha balelot. When do we talk about emuna? At night. When things are not clear, and you don't see God clearly, you don't see his miracles clearly, like, for example, during Galut, during exile, where God hid himself, and the Jews were just being kicked around, and the Jewish God was not very visible. When God is not visible, we believe in him anyway. That is emunatcha ba'alelot. On the other hand, Lagid baboker chazdecha, when things are clear, when we are in the land of Israel. Jeremiah says the land of Israel is symbolized by light, and exile is symbolized by darkness. When we're in the land of Israel, and we could see God clearly, Baruch Hashem, God is protecting the Jewish people. Whether it be in Corona, whether it be in the Six-Day War, whether it be in the War of Independence, God will protect us also from Iran, don't worry. When we're in the land of Israel, that is Lagid Baboker Chazdecha. By the way, that's also why in Shacharit, notice, at the end of Kriyat Shema, we say Emet V'Yatziv. During the day, God is very strongly based. At night, during Mariv, what do we say? Emet V'Emuna. We believe in God even when things are dark, even during the evening prayer. In other words, here also, Rav Kook is saying that the doubt that we had at the beginning regarding is Eve day or night, kishasafek yaset pulato be'emuna, when the doubt will do its job loyally, emuna means faith or loyally, lo ya'acher havadai lavo. It's not going to be too long before that doubt, that unclarity, will help us reach the clarity. Al yedei birur koach hatziruf shelo. Now here is the chidush. As we've seen together many, many times, Rav Kook, at the end of a very nice idea, will bring us a pasuk and give a totally innovative approach how to explain the pasuk. And here, he does it beautifully. Watch this. A pasuk in Yeshayahu, Lamed Gimel Vav. Vaya emunat itecha chosen yeshuot chokhma vadat. One of these psukim that is very difficult to understand what it's talking about. Those who have learned with us again for 10 years, if you remember, probably like 7 or 8 years ago, we learned in Shabbat Taf Lamed. Because it was a while ago, where Rav Kook talks about Vaya on this pasuk. But in our context, again, Vehaya. Vehaya is the past. It's talking here about in the beginning, Vehaya, in the first stage, Emunat. What is Emunah? It's a safek. It's a doubt where you don't have clarity. Itecha, regarding the times of day. Itecha is times. That's exactly our case. We don't know if it's day or night. What is Eve? Day or night? So again, at the first stage, we have doubts regarding the times. Vaya emunat itecha. Chosen, chosen means something which is very strong. In other words, vadai. Something definite will come out. Yeshuat chokhma vadat. The intellect, the chokhma vadat, if you put the two doubts together, they will come to a vadai. And for those who know Hebrew, you can see Rav Kook did here something really, really beautiful. I'll just finish off with a concept that in source number 6, we don't have time to see it inside, a concept which, again, we did about 200 paragraphs ago, about 180 paragraphs ago, which is, what, about 7 years ago or so, 6 years ago, where Rav Kook talks about, maybe let's just see the Gemara, it's on Daf Lamed Amud Bet. Amar Rav Yehuda, Breder of Shmuel, Bar Shilat, Mishmei Derav, Bikshu Chachamim Lignoz Sefer Kohelet. The rabbis were thinking of not putting the book of Kohelet, Ecclesiastes, into the Tanakh. They were thinking of not canonizing it. Why? Because there are contradictions. We don't have time to go through all the contradictions. Anybody who has learned Kohelet knows sometimes it says happiness is good, sometimes happiness is bad. Sometimes wealth is good, sometimes wealth is bad. Everything is either, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's... There are a lot of apparent contradictions. And so the rabbis thought that if we put this into the Bible, then it will cause a lot of doubt. Again, you see how it's connected with our topic. Shidvarav sotrina zedze, because there are inherent contradictions. Nemalo ginzuhu, so why in the end did the rabbis not shelve Kohelet? Why did they put Kohelet into the Tanakh? Mipnei shetchilato divrei Torah v'sofo divrei Torah. Because it begins with Divrei Torah, and it ends with Divrei Torah. And if so, everything in the middle is also Divrei Torah. Do you see how what we just learned today is very, very connected with what we learned then? That if you understand the beginning, and you understand the end, that can help us understand the doubts. So too, if you have a doubt at the beginning and a doubt at the end, sometimes that helps us understand the middle. And in this paragraph, what is Rav Kook referring to? He says that the beginning is like when we are naive. In childhood, we have emunat tmima. We have faith in God, simple faith, like children. Then, in the middle, there is a stage of doubt, of questioning. That's what happens when you're a teenager. When you go to yeshiva and you start asking all your questions and you start learning philosophy. And at the end, it turns out that the more you ask questions, the more you clarify your emunah, your belief in God, and you end up that the beginning and the end, the blind faith and the intellectual faith, really are the same point. And that's how, again, another example, a little different, of how Rav Kook shows that the opposites, that blind faith or naive faith, and intellectual faith, rational faith, how they davka are not opposites. Ichud ha-hofachim, uniting the opposites. Like we've said many times in the past, if you go into a kindergarten and you ask a child, what's the opposite of boy? He'll say girl. But only after he matures, he realizes that boys and girls are not opposites. As a matter of fact, they attract. And that is a very important thesis in the writings of Rav Kook and in Kabbalah in general, that there are no contradictions in the world because the whole world was created by one God. And even when you see doubt, that doubt is just temporary, and eventually it'll help you get to a better understanding of both sides of the coin.